We are thankful to the Almighty God for this opportunity to preach the Word of God, the unadulterated Word of God, and we're reminded of what the Bible says as it relates to adding or subtracting from God's Word. We don't mix in our preferences. We don't mix in our nuances. We teach what thus saith the Lord. In Revelation chapter 22, the very back of this collection of books, Revelation the 22nd chapter, the Bible is very plain as it relates to addition or subtraction. Revelation 22, beginning at verse number 18, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book." So don't add to God's word. It's sufficient. Now, we don't want to get cute and take things away and be selective either. Verse 19 of Revelation chapter 22, if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. The Bible is sufficient. You don't need to add nor subtract. And there are those who say, "I don't want to add or subtract, but there are some things that are missing." You get people say, "There was, you know, between the testaments, there's things that are missing. They're not written in the Bible." Have you all ever thought about that, Christians? Don't respond to anything I say out loud other than amen. Have you all ever thought about that, Christians? I take them right to John chapter 20. Come on. John chapter 20. Did I say good morning? Well, I'll say it again. Good morning. John chapter 20. Come on. John the 20th chapter. Because let's not play around with God. Because, see, people come up with all kinds of excuses as to why they don't obey. You'd be better off just saying, "I don't want to obey." But don't say, "Oh, there's things that are written that are not written in the book." You're right. But does God give us enough? John chapter 20 and the verses 30. John the 20th chapter, beginning at verse 30. "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book." So if you're going to play the game, and people play this game, and I don't know if you all realize this, but breaking news, people play games to justify their position, to justify their inaction or their actions. Jesus did a lot of things that are not written in this book, but keep reading the next verse, John 20 and verse 31. "But these are written, what you have, what we have access to, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." The word is enough. I'm not searching for what God didn't provide for us, but what he gave to us, we can use for our own soul salvation. So good morning yet again. We want to go to work this morning, and this is part 4. I don't know how many parts we'll have, because I tell you what, God is able. And I want to give you a couple of scriptures that will just help us along our journey this morning. And I want to start with the clear encouragement. Let me say this about encouragement. I appreciate Brother Tyrone Tinsley for adding that to his prayer. Every time the word of God is preached, we should be encouraged. But now some of you are saying, "Well, sometimes it hurts." Yes. You go to the gym and it's like, no pain, no gain. We go to business conferences and they're talking about get out of your comfort zone. Amazing, isn't it? But yet we come to the Lord's house, it's like, please don't say anything to hurt my feelings. In no other aspect of life is that relevant to growth. We coaching. Now I've had the pleasure, and I got some of my former athletes here today. Some listened sometimes, some didn't. I had to call their full government name. When I call your full government name and you play on my team, that's not a good thing. You know who you are. Here's my point. In coaching, you have to push your players. The Miami Heat, again, have to be pushed. Because if they don't play well this next game, they got a nice long offseason. What's my point? Using the athletic context, the business context, the athletic context, and certainly the spiritual context, we have to be pushed. And so the encouragement today is as we grow, our kids academically, teachers, you ever pushed one of your students? You can do so much better. And so therein lies the encouragement today. Let's take a look at our Bibles. Let's go to Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. Let me give you a little encouragement So we're going to deal, if we had to put this into three categories: encouragement, commitment, and consequence. Those are our three things we're going to deal with today. I'll stay in that framework. Encouragement, commitment slash promise, and then consequence. Encouragement, commitment slash promise, consequence. Romans chapter 8 and the verses 28. And if you're tracking with me, the first bullet is encouragement. Let's be encouraged through God's word. Brother Lenny, Romans chapter 8 and the verses 28. Listen to all this absolute language when we talk about all. Read.
And we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God.
And we know that all things, not some things, all things work together. Well, bad things happen, but that gives us perspective. There's evil in this world, yes. We should be thankful for God's grace. If we recognize the inevitability and the reality of evil, we should then embrace goodness. If we realize that people lie in this world, let us embrace honesty. We know, the Bible says, Paul writing to the Church of Christ at Rome, and we know that all things, not some things, see, saints, we sometimes ask for prayer, but I want us to be careful, not be careful asking for prayer, but let's be more knowledgeable. What do I mean by that? All of us, we know that all things work together for the good. We know it's God's will that all mankind be saved. So it's not a matter if it's God's will that he be saved, it's God's will that everybody be saved. Amen. So as members of the body of Christ, may we recognize that everything works together for the good. It takes the sunshine and the rain to make the flowers bloom. A rose without its thorns is not a rose. So when we go through trials and tribulations, may we not act like we're the victim. This is a little bit of coaching. Thank you, Lord, for this trial and tribulation. Thank you, Lord, for this affliction so I can be stronger. Change our perspective. This is a series on mental wellness. And part of being mental wellness, socio-emotional wellness, is a mindset. All of us have mental challenges. Thank you for those that said amen. The rest of you that have got tight-lipped, lying is still a sin. Denial is real. If we recognize that, it wasn't so long ago. It's like, you got to just take a deep breath, not be short fused. Amen. Anybody can relate to that? Thank you for not leaving me alone. But my point is, if we that level playing field, so when someone says something's wrong with her, something's wrong with him, something's wrong with all of us. And so when we put that in perspective, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3 and verse 23. All of us have transgressed, violated. But may we look at it in what's known in the realm of family and youth development, my world that I live in, been in for 30 plus years, they say it's a growth mindset. I said something in a meeting one day, and someone said, that's a growth mindset. And I didn't redirect them. I said, no, that's a Christian mindset. Because we can. We know that all things work together for the good. For them that are called according to the purpose of the Lord, are called according to his purpose. So we know that all things work together for the good. Amen? So make sure we take the bitter with the sweet. We celebrate the victories. And let us not go crazy and fall out over the challenges. Go with it. Let's continue. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Remember, first bullet of three. I only got three bullets for you today. If you wanted me to preach to midnight, I guess we got to come back another time. Some of you are like, no, I didn't pray that you preached at midnight, so that's okay. First bullet is encouragement. And that if you're taking notes, we should understand and know. That word know, translated into Greek, understand. Fully understand and comprehend that all things work together for the good. That's going to help us through our next trial. Not if we ever go through a trial. It's inevitable we're going to go through a trial of tribulation. It's inevitable that we will have to face affliction. So when you go through it, the mindset is, things work together for the good. Let me give you an example. This is a practical example. Family and I, it was years ago, pre-pandemic. I don't know what possessed us to get on this ride called Mission to Mars at Epcot. Every one of us is claustrophobic. Every single one of us. And every 10 feet, there was a sign. If you are claustrophobic, you can turn around right now. We saw the sign number one. There was at least 50 signs. If you have any issues with closed spaces, please turn around. And we go to every single one of them. Then we get into a little contraption, and the thing is like this close to our face. And I'm sitting there like, all things work together for the good. I could not wait for that ride to be over. Chantel needed everything short of professional medical help after that ride. With ice, towels. She was done for the rest of the day. What more do we need to see? But we made a choice. And God knows we suffered the consequences. If that ride had been another 5 seconds, I would have passed out. I kid you not. That door opened. I think I elbowed maybe a little kid. I don't know, but I'm like. We sometimes make choices. All the warning signs are there. And then we come and we pray on Sunday morning. Y'all pray for me. I'm going through some stuff. I bet you are. Nothing wrong with asking for prayer. But we made choices. Some of that applies to our consequence bullet, our third bullet. Let's stay in the first bullet. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse number 57 to 58. Encouragement. One, we know everything works together for the good. We can trust God. God is able. 1 Corinthians 15, 57. Go ahead and read.
But thanks be to God.
But thanks be to God. Let's be thankful. Let us be thankful and act like it. But thanks be to God for what?
Which giveth us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So at the end of the day, it may seem like evil is rampant in the world. And it is. But evil will not win. My family questions my sanity when I watch recorded games. Because outside of football, I love football. But I'd make sure I record it, because it may be a rainy day and nothing's on, and I will put on a football game. I already know who won. And I watch it like I don't. They're like, when was that game? Don't worry about it. It was 2019, and we won the game. It encourages me to see my team win. I almost cried there, but nevertheless. But when you know the end of it, then you go back and watch it. And that fumble, that interception. But do you know what happens at the end? This is our mindset. But thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. With all that we will go through in this world, Jesus is already, we will be victorious. That's encouraging to us. Read on. So because of that, and this growth mindset is what they call it in the psychological realm, it's a Christian mindset. Own it, children of God. Next verse, 1 Corinthians 15, we should be at verse 58. So because of the fact that we have victory through Jesus Christ, verse 58, read, listen to it.
Therefore,
wait a minute, therefore. When you see therefore, know what it's there for. Because we have victory through Jesus Christ, now we can do what? Read.
My beloved brethren. Be ye steadfast.
And we get every word. Be ye steadfast. Wait a minute, steadfast is not variable. See, variable is this. You got to look at me for just a second. Variable is this. We're up and down. As my grandma would say, we are fair weather. Everything's good today, but in 5 minutes, your attitude changes. We're fair weather. Steadfast means I'm going to stay. I'm going to hold the line. I don't care what's going on around me. I'm going to still hold the line. I'm going to do what's right by God. Be steadfast. Because we know we have victory through Jesus Christ, I'm going to keep fighting the good fight of faith. I won't give up. Amen. Be steadfast. Read.
Unmovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord.
Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Why?
For as much as you know.
For as much as you know and understand.
That your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
The work that we do. In Christ Jesus. Despite how people respond. Despite the obstacles. Despite the challenges. Despite us. In spite of us. God still has a victory. My name is Gail S. Nelson. Gail S. Nelson can lose his soul, but God will still have the victory. My choices can cause me to lose my soul. Insert your name, but God still has the victory. So no child of God that understands his word, and that's what we're staying intentional in this series with Brother Rick and myself, is to remind us, change your speech, change your mindset. And if you already have the mindset of, I can no matter what, then we're reinforcing what you already know. Because far too often,
we act like we don't know this. I don't know what's going on, but y'all just pray for me. No, no, no. In spite, I don't care what's going on. I may not understand it, but I know that trials and afflictions will come. But I know that I can be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Amen. I know that all things work together for the good. What I am just regurgitating here, what we just read in Scripture, Romans 8, verse 28. Amen. Have it in your long-term memory. 1 Corinthians 15, 57 and 58. Amen. One more piece of encouragement, rule of three. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. Because now, as we talk about encouragement, see, God makes promises. And we can rest assured that he will keep his promises. Unlike man, unlike mankind, we can count on God. We will be let down. Man can say one thing and do another. I can say one thing and do another. But let us be reminded of the commitment that God has made to us. 2 Peter chapter 3 and the verse is 9. What does the Bible say?
The Lord is not slack concerning his promise.
The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. God is not fair weather. God is steadfast. God is all powerful. God is all knowing. And God is everywhere. The Lord is not slack. Now, if you meet someone and say, this man came up to me and said, you know, how you doing? I'm going to give you my phone number because I'm a slack man. Just keep walking, sister. Don't be around anybody that's slack. Because if something is slack, that word slack includes lack. There's something lacking. And so the Lord is not slack. We can count on him. He is trustworthy. The Lord is not slack concerning
his promise.
His promise. Read.
As some men count slackness.
As some men count slackness. It's accountable to man. It is noted. We put on record that man can be slack. We can say one thing and do another. That's just part of being a human being. Even sometimes with the best of intentions, we may have unintended consequences. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is
long-suffering.
But is long-suffering to
usward.
Reap.
Not willing that any should perish.
God is not willing that any should perish.
But that all should come to repentance.
Come to repentance. God wants all of us to make it. If the victory, let's go in reverse before we go to our second point of three. We know that all things work together for the good for those who love the Lord. Romans 8 and 28. That's why we say we know. Not my opinion, it's what the Bible says. We know that the victory is in Jesus Christ. We know we should be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that our labor, our work is not in vain in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15, 57 and 58. And now we know that God is not slack concerning his promise. If he makes a promise, he will keep it. If he gives it to us, he's not going to just play games with us and take it back. As compared or contrasted with mankind. Is that encouraging to you this morning? First bullet, encouragement. Second bullet, commitment and promise. Second bullet of three, you tracking with me? Commitment and promise. So now let's go back to, now why do we go back to the Old Testament? I say this every time we teach from the Old Testament. Because children of God need to understand. I'll give you two verses. Let's go to Romans 15 and 4. Romans 15 and 4. I want you to put this in long-term memory. The Church of Christ is the New Testament church. But it is important. And Paul made mention of it a few times. We're going to go to Romans 15 and 4. Then we'll give you another one after that. Romans 15 and 4. Let's run over there first. Why do we study the Old Testament? Why do we make reference to the Old Testament? Romans 15 and 4. What does the Bible say? For whatsoever things were written aforetime or before time
were written for our learning.
Were written for our learning
that we through patience and comfort
through patience and comfort of the scriptures
might have hope.
Might have hope. So we can look back and gain some lessons from what people did or what people failed to do. Another reason is 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Come on. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to make sure our cadence is not too fast and you can stay with us. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Before we look at it, as we kind of segue to our second bullet of commitment and promise, it's important you understand why we go back to the Old Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning at, give me verse 6. Verse number 6, and then we're going to drop down to verse 11. 6, 11, and 12. Let's take a look at it. Read.
Now, these things were our examples.
Now, these things, those things that happened beforehand, and, you know, Paul was talking about the children of Israel going through the Red Sea, how God delivered them, had a cloud, and, you know, how he just led them, he directed them. Now, these things were written, these things were our examples. Now, understand something. When you study God's word, know who's speaking, know to whom they're speaking, and what they're speaking about. Who's speaking in 1 Corinthians chapter, in the book of 1 Corinthians, 1 and 2 Corinthians? The word epistle means letter. Two letters are written to the church of Christ at Corinth. And so when he says our example, he's talking to the saints at Corinth specifically. Look at it in context. Now these things, 1 Corinthians 10 and 6, were our church examples. Why?
To the intent we should not lust after evil things.
Come on.
As they also lusted.
Now these things are written for were our examples to the intent for the purpose that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted.
Breaking news. You can learn from the mistakes of others. So when a child of God asks me in 2023, why are we looking at the Old Testament? Because we, in 2023, can look back through God's word and learn from the mistakes and the victory of others. Stay in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Drop down to verse number 11. Read.
Now all these things happen unto them for an ensamples.
Now all these things happen unto them for ensamples. In other words, ensample translated examples. Now where did we come in? These things happen. They were examples. Read.
And they are written for our admonition.
Oh, hit that pronoun harder now. And they were written for what?
Our.
Our admonition. What does the word admonition mean? Teaching. So we can learn from the mistakes and victories of others. And these things are written for our, Paul writing to the church of Christ at Corinth, for our admonition, our teaching, our instruction, upon whom the end of the worlds are come. You mean to tell me? Because there's no other dispensation after the Christian age. What do you mean dispensation? Dispensation is a time frame. There's three time frames in the Bible. First one, God spoke directly to the heads of households, the fathers. Patriarchal. God spoke directly to Noah. He didn't say, somebody send a message to Noah that I want him to build an ark. God spoke directly to Noah. Amen. Mosaical age or dispensation, time frame. God spoke directly to and through Moses. We'll come back to that in a minute. And now God speaks to us through his son, through the word of God, Hebrews 1 and 1. So when we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, under the Christian age, these things that were happened beforehand were written for our instruction, upon whom the end of the world are come. There is no other time frame after the Christian age. Amen. We are in the last days. So when we, upon whom then, and we're reemphasizing 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 11, latter part, upon whom, written for our admonition, for our instruction, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Brothers and sisters and visiting friends especially, that's why it's an urgency to get into Christ. Because after Christ, there's no other Savior. There is no third coming. Those who were in the ark under the age of Noah, dispensation, anything outside the ark, died. They were delivered by water. Mosaical dispensation, they crossed the Red Sea. And that sea is full of water. And God delivered them through the Red Sea. And if you stay in 1 Corinthians 10, now I'm going to give you some time on the back end because I'm doing an invitation right now. It's called an audible. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, some of y'all caught that if you're a football fan. Some of you are like, what's an audible? Look it up later. Listen, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1, moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all, here's the word, baptized. Not into Moses, because he's not the Savior, unto Moses, led by Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Now, think about this. Baptized by translation means to be fully immersed. They went through the Red Sea, engineers. They went through the Red Sea, and they walked on dry land, but they were in the midst of the sea. The word baptized by translation means to be fully immersed. Did they go under the water? If you look up the Red Sea, thousands and thousands of feet deep. God made a way for them through water. There's a pattern taking place here. 1 Corinthians 10, stay in the text. Pick it up in the next verse after baptize unto Moses. Come on. Verse number 3.
And did all eat the same spiritual meat?
They all ate the same spiritual meat, so they were on the same page. They were fed. Read.
And did all drink the same spiritual drink?
And all drink the same spiritual drink. Come on.
For they drank of that spiritual rock.
They drank of that spiritual rock, capital R. Wait a minute now. We're in the Mosaical age, but all roads point to something bigger, greater, and more lasting than the Mosaical dispensation. They all drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. Come on.
And the rock was Christ.
The rock was Christ. You mean to tell me that God's pattern, God's plan, God's scheme of redemption from the days of old, one ark of safety delivered by water, going through the Red Sea, God is that same constant through every dispensation. They walked through on dry land, and the Bible says the rock that followed them was Christ. In the beginning was God. And the Word was God. Listen to me. I hope we understand. God's at work throughout. He didn't change how man will be delivered. So guess what? When you are saved, if you are to be saved today, you got to go to the water. Same God. You don't get into one physical ark made of gopher wood. That'd be a big ark to put the whole world in that, wouldn't it? You don't have to go to the Red Sea. We baptized a sister. She was 81 years old. She said, I've spent a lot of money. She went to Jerusalem because she wanted to go where Jesus walked. I said, sister, you can be taught. We sat down and taught her the gospel, and we baptized her. She said, I didn't have to spend all that money. I said, you can travel anywhere you want. You can travel to the Holy Land, and that's great from a historical standpoint. You can be saved right here in H2O. And there's nothing holy about this water. You step out by faith. So, verse 11. So now you all get it while we go back to the Old Testament? For in sample, for instruction, example, instruction, confidence, because God's plan for man, ultimately, the patterns, the examples, the figures, the types, were all laid out throughout the Old Testament. A lamb that was slain, doorposts, the side posts and the upper doorposts, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you, Lamb of God. So when you study your Bible, no examples, but also understand and appreciate what God has done for us today. Promise and commitment. Numbers chapter 13. Our third bullet. No, we're in the second bullet. I don't want to let you out that early. That would be unfair. Nobody said amen. You're like, well, it wouldn't be that unfair. Let's stay at second bullet a few more minutes. So the pattern of salvation. Water. God delivering his people through water. And so as we look at the word of God today, let's go to Numbers chapter 13. Numbers the 13th chapter. Some of this is review from last week, so I just want to just hit it very quickly. Numbers chapter 13. I'll drive here, Lenny, for a minute. Numbers 13 for time's sake. Listen carefully to what God promised, what God gave. And the Lord's, Numbers 13 and 1. Everybody there? Say amen. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, here it is, which I give unto the children of Israel. God's like, it's yours. It's yours. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. And one of the things that's so important, I did this on last Sunday night. I'm going to do it again. We keep hearing the number 12. 10 had a bad report, 2 had an evil report. But just like, you know, when you're intentional, that word intentional we gave you last week, to be deliberate, to be purposeful, to provide clarity, who were these men? Stay in the text. Come on. And Moses, verse 3, and Moses by the commandment of the Lord sent them from the wilderness of Paran, all those men who were heads of the children of Israel. Brothers and sisters, they picked leaders. And I want to say this to all the, you may be leading on the job, you may be leading in the home. If you're a single female, you lead your household. Amen. And when God set up leadership in the Lord's church, leaders must have a mindset that we got to persevere. Because guess what happens when you're a leader? And any of you know this if you're a supervisor, people will take all of your energy.
I got to call in sick. Didn't I say you on the golf course? Well, you know, I wasn't sick on the 18th hole, but I just wanted to get sick of work. So just say that. What? These were leaders. These weren't just mere men. They just picked men randomly. He said pick. These were heads. The Bible says everyone a ruler among them, latter part of verse 2. You still with me? Here it is. And of course, and then Moses by the commandment, verse 3 again, of the Lord sent from the wilderness of Paran all those men who were heads of the children of Israel. Why is that important? Because some of these men who were leaders had a grasshopper complex. Verse 4, and these were their names of the tribe of Reuben, Shammua, the son of Zakor, of the tribe of Simeon, Shaphat, the son of Ori, of the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, of the tribe of Issachar, Igal, the son of Joseph, of the tribe of Ephraim, Oshea, that's Joshua, the son of Nun, of the tribe of Benjamin, Palti, the son of Raphu, of the tribe of Zebulun, Gadiel, the son of Sodi, of the tribe of Joseph, namely of the tribe of Manasseh, Gadi, the son of Susi, of the tribe of Dan, Amiel, the son of Gamali, of the tribe of Asher, Sithor, the son of Michael, of the tribe of Naphtali, Nahi, the son of Vapsi, of the tribe of Gad, Geul, the son of Maki. These are the names of the men which Moses sent to spy out the land. And Moses called Oshea, the son of Nun, Jehoshua. Now that name, Jehoshua, by translation, means salvation or deliverance. In all my years of preaching about the 12 spies, over the last 2 weeks, first time I've called all their names. Now, what's the significance of their names? I mean, these are just the names of the men. But it's interesting that Moses says, now, Oshea, you are Jehoshua. Because we fast forward this, Moses did not take him into the promised land. Jehoshua did. Joshua did. And there's a lot that happens in between, and we won't have time to cover all of it this morning. Everybody with me? So now, promise. God gave them the, God said, this land is yours. I was about to say, this land is your land. God gave them the land. This land is your land. It's yours. So now, they were sent. And the Bible lets us know. Let's drop down for time's sake. We're in Numbers chapter 13. And they searched the land. Well, let's begin reading at verse 25. Brother Ferreras, Numbers 13 and verse 25. Here we go. Read.
And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days.
I want you to underscore 40 days. They searched the land for 40 days. Who gave them the land? God. God said, it's yours. They searched the land for 40 days. Significant number. Read.
And they went and came to Moses.
Came to Moses and Aaron.
And to all the congregation of the children of Israel. Unto the wilderness of Parah of Kadesh, and brought back word unto them, and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land.
So they did. So now keep in mind, you can be outwardly obedient, but inwardly evil. Ooh. That hurt, Brother Gale. You can be outwardly obedient. I did what you said. Did they go? Yes. They went and searched the land. God, through Moses, we're under the Mosaical dispensation now, patriarchal Mosaical Christian, we're under the Mosaical dispensation, God speaking through Moses, to and through Moses. Moses chose leaders, heads of households. They went and searched the land. How long did they search the land? 40 days. They came back and said, they even brought proof of the fruit of the land. I'll drive here for a minute. Verse 27, stay with me. And they told him and said, we came into the land whither thou sent us. There's obedience. That's like your kid saying, I did what you said. I took out the trash. You might have taken it out of the house. Maybe they threw it in the backyard. Who knows where they put the trash bag? We did what you told us, in other words. We came into the land whither thou sent us, and surely it flowed with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, there's that word. There's a shift. We did what you said. Saints, let us be mindful of what we say. I know what I'm supposed to do, but I know what the Bible says, but we went to the land. Nevertheless, I'm giving it emphasis from a teaching standpoint. Nevertheless, you know what's going to happen. Now, I think it's cute. They said the land flows with milk and honey. God already said that. I give you a land that flows with milk and honey. Just a rule of thumb in work, you can use this at home, use this on the job too. When people have a very, very long answer, there's probably some nevertheless in there. Listen to people. Did you all catch that? Maybe that's time. We'll do that in a workshop, how to talk to people. You want to do a how to talk to people workshop? Whether you like it or not, we're going to do it. Okay, here we go. It's helpful because you listen to people and you pick up on patterns. It's a land that flows with milk and honey, so you're telling us what God already told us. We know that. We sent you to the land. God told us it flows with milk and honey. And this is the fruit of it. We told you it was a time of grapes. It was the first harvest of grapes. And they brought back some grapes. And see, here's grapes. God already said all of that. Nevertheless, the people be strong. Here it is. Shift. The people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. Children of Anak, you're talking about giants. Giants. These people were very tall. It's a fortified city. And here's some good grapes. Verse 29, Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. Hittites and the Jebusites and Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. So in other words, a fortified city, people are very tall, there's giants there, it's a strong city, and I don't know. Look at the shift. Verse 30, and Caleb stilled the people. See, brothers and sisters, I said this last Sunday night, I'll say it again with this larger audience. It's so important we got people that can still calm. You can talk to people and you end up walking away more upset than you were when you first started the conversation. Caleb stilled the people. In the midst, you need to be the one, you know, peace be still, calmness remain, serenity, tranquility, stay right here. In the midst of all the world's craziness, we need to be people that can still a crowd, still a conversation, not add toxicity or add fuel to the, I got it, fuel to the fire. Set you up there, that was bad. Because there are those who can just add fuel to the fire. The Bible says Caleb still, and can you imagine how the congregation felt? God said, I'm giving you the land. Go check it out. Now, why did God say check it out? God already knew. But God, you got to look at me one more time. God needs to know what's in our heart. It's a proving ground. Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once. Two distinct reports. And possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. You understand what they said? They said, we can't do it. And look at the very next verse. They were outwardly obedient, but the Bible says, here's the E word, and they brought up an evil report. So you mean to tell me that children of God, we can be, so many of you are sitting right here. Well, you are sitting right here. What's on your mind? What's on your mind? What's on your heart? This is where we go a little deeper as Christians. If we recognize who God is, how God operates, I can do all things through Christ. God is able to work through everything. That roller coaster ride, literally of life, strap in. And it's going to be some times where it's like, ooh, but thank God, because he's able. God sent them. God gave them the land. And they still came back and brought an evil report. And see, evil reports will then infect the people. Watch this. They brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel. Verse 32, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. Nobody can survive there. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. There's some pretty big people over there. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight. Put that in, I would underline that if I were you, in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. I said this last week, I'll say it again right now. Grasshopper complex. What is a grasshopper complex? Here it is. When you feel you lack the ability to do something, I'm incapable. What they just said, we see ourselves as grasshoppers and they are giants. If you imagine being a grasshopper and you're next to this plant, it seems like a tower. Look, it's like, it's so big. I'm a little grasshopper down here. Comparatively, you got it? If you see yourself as being so small, we see ourselves as being so small, everything is big. And the Bible says in the very same verse, we were grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. You're defeated before you even get on the field. Second, but let's go to our final bullet today. God knows our hearts. We've encouraged you knowing what the end, well, you have the victory. God made a commitment. God made a promise. But that last one was consequence. Is that correct? Is that the third bullet? Third bullet was consequence. Well, here it is. Numbers chapter 14. In Numbers 13, God sent them. God gave them the land. They came back with an evil report. Numbers chapter 14. I'm fast forwarding for time's sake. We'll pick it up again a little bit tonight. And I got to say this to you. Be careful what you ask for. Because see, in Numbers chapter 14, before we get to this lesson text, I'm going to take that off the screen for a minute. I'm going back, brother. Take it back on Zoom. I want to get ahead of me. I'll close with that. Look at Numbers 14. This is how we can impact other people. And they gave an evil report saying that we can't do it. We're just grasshoppers. Numbers 14 and 1. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried. And the people wept that night. Why are they crying? Are they crying over the victory that God gave us? Gave them? No. Are they crying over the fact that God said, I give you a land flowing with milk and honey? No. They're crying because of these 10 men who came back and said, we can't do it. Let me just give you a little coaching. Saints, listen to me. Do not keep company with people that quench your spirit. And keep company, that means, well, can I date them? That's keeping company. No. There were 12 leaders that went. 10 of them said, we can't do it. We're mere grasshoppers in our own sight. So the Bible goes on to say the congregation cried that night. They wept, they mourned that night because of this report. And all the children of Israel murmured. See, this is where now, because their spirit was suppressed, because they were discouraged, then guess what happens? It has to manifest itself when you take it out on somebody else. And what did they do? Thank you for asking. Verse 2 of Numbers 14, and all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. What did Moses and Aaron do? Moses carried out the commandment of the Lord. But the people began to turn, unfortunately, on God's established leadership. Translate that to 2023, murmuring and complaining behind the scenes. Not good. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. So folks, of all places they want to go, they want to go back to Egypt, where they were crying because of their taskmasters, and God delivered them out of Egypt. Last time I checked, they were being chased out of Egypt. Now we want to turn around and go back. Isn't it amazing how emotions can cause us to say things that are absolutely foolish? Let's close. You ready to close? I'm so glad. Thank you, brother. He said, preach. And that I will do, sir. We're closing. God said this. Numbers 14. It's on your screen to make it easier for you to follow. God said, because all those men which have seen my glory. God's like, they saw what I did. Can you imagine walking on dry land through the Red Sea? Lindsay, you look to your left, you see thousands of feet of water. You look to your right, thousands of feet of water. And I love this word, congeal. It's like gelatin. When you imagine coming, walking through the Red Sea, and, you know, water moves, right? And you imagine, because my mother used to make Jell-O. That was like our, let me move on. We made Jell-O growing up. And she would put mandarin oranges in and all that, so that it was like congealed in the gelatin. Y'all got it? Sustained with it. So can you imagine walking through the Red Sea and looking to your left, and you see sharks and beautiful fish? And God is letting you, and you, I'm sure they said, keep going, Gail. And so I wasn't there. I'm just using that as an example. But God said, these men have seen my glory, my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me how many times? 10 times. Why did God say they tempted me 10 times? Because there were 10 leaders who said, we're just little grasshoppers. God said, I got you. They have not hearkened to my voice. God said, I gave you the land. Just go check it out. And you come back and say, let's go. Only 2 said, let's go. Y'all with me?
Surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. Here's our final point, consequence. There's consequences for sin. If I rob a bank, Romans 13, I should go to jail. That's the consequence. I can still serve my time, get out, and I can still make it to heaven if I repent. Or if I say, next time, I'm going to steal it a different way. That's not repentance. But my servant Caleb, and this is where, here's our final point. I said final point three times. Let me stop saying final point. 10 times. All of you are in cahoots. All of you collaborating, saying we can't do it, but I've already given it to you. But here's the word, a different spirit. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit. Translate that, a more excellent spirit. We're not talking about the Holy Spirit here. It's an attitude, a perspective. Mindset. Okay, what did Caleb say after these men said we couldn't do it? He said, let us go up at once. That is the mentality you ought to have. Teach your kids, teach your husband, teach your wife, teach everybody, because God is able. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and had followed me fully. Fully, translate that, holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y. He completely trusted me. Who cares about the giants? God is able. Who cares about the fortified city? God is able. Who cares about the Jebusites, the Canaanites, the Amorites, the Hittites? Who cares about all the enemies? God is able. He hath followed me fully, and I will bring, and him will I bring into the land, wherein he went, and his seed shall possess it. God is able. If you're here today and you are outside the ark of safety, see, God delivered them from Egypt. When you get into the 40 years of wilderness wandering, this is where it comes from, folks. A year for every day they searched out the land and gave an evil report. We'll touch on that a little bit tonight. A year for every day. God didn't just make up the 40 years. He's like, okay, here's a consequence. And many of them are going to die in the wilderness. Consequence. But as we move forward and as we close, Jesus Christ died on the cross. We've already given you the invitation. Do you trust God? Do you trust him? Song leader, come on. Do you trust him? Because the same God that delivered 8 souls were saved by water in one ark. God has one ark of safety today for the whole world. And that one ark of safety is the Lord's church. Jesus Christ died on the cross, shed his blood, purchased the church. God allowed Moses to deliver them through water. You have to come to the watery grave of baptism. Baptism washes away our sins, Acts 22 and 16. And I pray to God, if there's somebody here today that believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, that believes that he died, was buried, and rose again the third day, that's willing to change their mind, repent. Willing, not coerced, but willing to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We will immerse you in water today. Today. Not through an ark. No, that was a type, a pattern, an example. Not through the Red Sea, type, pattern, example. But today is a day of salvation. Immersed in water, your sins are washed away, and you rise up to live faithfully until death. What I love about the example of Jesus. See, there's different types of coaches. Now, if you ask any athlete that ever played for me, there were times where I would talk softly and tenderly after a win. And there were times I coached throughout the game. Jesus does not seek to make us obey him. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling for you and me. Can you imagine going to the cross, shedding your blood, and just saying, please get in? How would you say that? I died for you. What are you doing? No. That's why he's the perfect example. So today, if you're outside the body of the Church of Christ, I pray to God, you get in while you can.
And for those who are in the Lord's church, and maybe we haven't had that growth mindset. We haven't had that Christian perspective we ought to have. Maybe we're just downtrodden. Maybe we're pessimistic. That's an oxymoron, a pessimistic Christian. No such thing in Scripture. No such thing in Scripture. Can it exist? Yeah, with us. I don't know. I know. And I pray to God that we all know so that we can make it to that eternal home. If you need to respond in any way, those on Zoom, you know what to do. Please go to the chat right now as we together stand and as we together sing. Won't you come?